Greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to welcome each and every one of you here today, and the visitors are with us. I trust you'll feel welcomed as we worship the Lord together. It is good to be gathered in the house of the Lord again today. It's good to come together and have a beautiful day to gather together to worship. And I don't know, imagine different ones thought about this, but there's usually one week in the spring and one or so weeks in the fall that the trees in the front of the church are just about perfect, and I think this morning's that morning for the spring, but yeah, it's just the blooms are just about right. And I remember, Ethan, Indiana, yeah, there you are. I remember when you once planted these trees, that's been many years ago, and they were pretty small and they needed watered pretty regular, but they're, yeah, just about really nice. So thank you for that. And yeah, it's just good to be gathered together, to come together to serve the Lord. I've appreciated the service so far as well, the Sunday school lesson, the songs that we sang, and the scripture reading Brother Joe had. And I was just thinking there, as Brother Kyle taught the men's Sunday school class and was finishing up the lesson, and how it kind of tied in with somewhat of what we're looking at a little bit today, or not so much the parable, but the thought of the focus of the lesson. And the title of the lesson was called to be servants of God, and the focus was to willingly humbly serve our Master, Jesus Christ, and to do His will. So we could say that are we being servants of God, and are we willingly humbly serving our Master, Jesus Christ, and doing His will? I think I've probably asked this question before, but as I was thinking about the message this morning, did you ever think about why you're living here on this earth in the year of 2023? In April of 2023, you know, in the vast, we know of history, we know, you know, that I guess history as it is, you know, the history of the whole earth, but also the history of how long the United States, how people have been here on the earth in the United States, or when the United States started. We know there was Indians here before that. We don't know how long they were here or anything like that, but I guess I was just thinking again as I was preparing and studying for the message, and you know, why would God choose me, or why would God choose you to be here at this part of His timeline of the earth? And why weren't we born in another time, or why weren't, you know, things along that line can sometimes go to your mind. Another thought that came to my mind, did you ever stop and think about how much God cares about us and about you and me? How much He has designed everything about us, everything around us, everything that is happening to us, allowing to happen to us, that God has designed it. You know, as Sister Mary Ann shared about the different ones that have illnesses, you know, there's and sicknesses, sometimes you can begin to wonder why all that needs to happen, why all that needs to take place, and why it seems like some suffer more than others, and it don't always seem fair, but that's how God has allowed to happen, and God has designed it, and we trust that we can rest in that and understand His sovereignty, or not understand His sovereignty, but understand that He is sovereign and that He does care about each one of us. Today we want to look a little bit about holy living, what holy living looks like, and that we are a chosen people, a special people called by God to live lives that are a reflection of God Himself. The text this morning we'll be looking at is in 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll be looking at the first 10 verses. It tells us in this text that we are living stones, or lively stones. We are building up a spiritual house. And that question I ask of why we are here in April of 2023, we'll maybe look at that a little bit more as we go through the message. But we are living stones, or lively stones, building up a spiritual house, that we are a special, chosen people called to do the work of the Lord. Title of the message this morning is A Chosen People. As we go through the message this morning, we want to think about who we are in Christ, and along with that, of what our lives should reveal because of that. So if you haven't turned there yet, if you will turn with me at this time to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Starts out there, wherefore lay aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. If you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, let me read verse 3 again. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, Ye also are living or lively stones, and are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices accepted by to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You know, sometimes as you go through life, sometimes as you, I remember different times, you know, does your life really matter? Is there anything in your life that really matters? When I say that, are you, you know, some along that thought of why am I here? What does God have for me? What are we doing in life? Sometimes we can get the feeling that we're not making that much of an impact on the world. But what are we doing with what God has given us, or some thoughts we'll think about as we go through the message? This morning, our message again will be divided into three parts. The first part is a living stone, or living stones. We start there in verse 1. You know, I had to think a little bit of if we could stop and think about all the troubles that could be avoided if we would be willing to practice what it says in this verse alone. It says, lay aside all malice. Malice is the intention to do evil or ill will. Lay aside all guile. That is the thought of all kinds of deceit. Hypocrisy is a false appearance of religion. Somebody is a hypocrite, would be one that would profess to be a Christian, or one that has all kind, would have portrayed to live a godly Christian life, but yet they're not truly a Christian or not a godly person at all. Envies. Yeah, we all know what envy means, which can lead to hatred and all evil speaking. Anything that is said or done with the intent of doing harm would be fit in that category of evil speaking. Thinking about some of that just a little more, someone said it like this, that lay aside all impure feelings, acts, and speeches. Another quote that I'd seen when I was studying said, men will cease to do evil if they rightly understand and appreciate the truths of the gospel. And we'll think about that just a little bit more as we go through some more of these verses, as we think about who we really are in Christ. And verse 2 brings out a little bit of that, and we talked maybe just briefly about some of this in Sunday school. As children, as younger children, how and often think about that, you know. I think I just told my wife earlier this week, you know, I'd love sometimes to be an 8 and a 10-year-old that didn't really have much more to worry about than whether I went to school that day and whether I got my schoolwork done. But yet, I would not want to live what I lived through between then and now again. But anyhow, we don't know what all we went through. But, you know, each stage of life has different responsibilities. Each stage of life has different things that are part of it. But in verse 2 here, it brings out that what we are supposed to be as Christians, what we are supposed to be as brothers in Christ, as newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. You know, what is the biggest need of a baby? The biggest need of a baby is to be fed and to be cleaned up after, change the diapers, those sorts of things. You know, a baby, when they cry, they have usually one of two needs, and many times it's because they're hungry. They want fed. They're desiring that sincere milk of the word, and that's what it is calling us here as Christians to be, that we would have that desire to dig into the word of God, that we would have that desire and sincere desire to not only dig into this the milk of the word, but also that we may grow thereby. When we dig into the milk of the word, we understand what God has for us and wants from us, and it's then that we may grow and mature in the ways of the Lord. What is your most desire? If somebody asked you the question, what is your most desire that you have, what would be your answer? You know, all of us have had dreams, all of us have had plans that we'd like to do or think would be good to do. But our plans and dreams, you know, many times I'm afraid as people we come up with our plans and dreams and then back up and expect God to bless it. But instead we need to have the plans and dreams and ask God to do His will through us in whatever His way is. Verse 3, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. In other words, here thinking a little bit more in connection or extending what verse 2 talked about. If we desire the sincere milk of the Word, if we dig into the Word of God, if we read the Word of God, if we understand the Word of God and apply it to our lives and are growing by that, then it says that we have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Adam Clark, in his commentary, said, "You have tasted the goodness of the Lord when you were born again of an incorruptible seed, and your hearts are purified by the truth, and ye have like precious faith, just like the apostles themselves." So we can say here this morning that for anybody that has accepted Christ as their Savior, anybody that is living for the Lord, we could say that we have tasted that the Lord is gracious. His grace has been extended to us in a way that we can accept Him as our Savior and live for Him. God's grace will continue to be with us through life. You know, I had to think a little bit here too. Experiencing what we're talking about here is more than just a head knowledge. It's more than just understanding that there is a God and understanding that Jesus died on the cross. And it's more than that. It's knowing. It's when we accept Jesus as our Savior, He comes and lives within our hearts. He fills our inner being. He fills our needs. The Holy Spirit then lives within us and guides us and directs us. And when we allow the Lord to continue to change our heart, it will have an impact on everything else that we do in life. Verse 4, we get to the part where it talks about the living stone or the lively stones. There's a lot in this verse. We'll be coming back and looking at this verse just a little bit later here as we go into the next section. But we want to look at one more thing before we go there. As verse 6 talks about Jesus being the chief cornerstone, that He is elect and precious. Then it says that anyone that believes on Him shall not be confounded or shall not be confused. That brings us into part 2. We want to look at the spiritual house of Jesus. And this here verse, I would say, is this verse and one other in verse 9 is probably the two verses that are the main thrust of the message here this morning. It's verse 5 here. It tells us that we are living stones. A living stones kind of presents the idea of being active or quick or the idea of sprinting. It's not just, you know, a stone that's laying out on the ground. And here in the area that we live in, we have a lot of rocks and a lot of stones. And they're just laying there. They don't do anything but cause trouble most of the time. But this is talking about us being a lively stone, and it's referring to Jesus as being the chief cornerstone. But we are called to be lively stones, living stones. And what we are doing is building up the spiritual house. We're building up the church. We're building up the house of God. But then it also says we are a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. The foundation, we know what the foundation of the church is. The foundation is Jesus Christ Himself. And we see that in verse 6 where we talked about Him being the chief cornerstone. But the structure of the church is made up of living material. Each one of us are the structure of the church. The church is not the building we meet in, even though we refer many times to talking about going to church. We're coming to the church meeting house. The church is us people, us individuals that are gathered here together this morning. It is made up of living material in different individuals. The spiritual house or the spiritual temple, not made with perishable materials. You know, I had to think a little bit too. We meet here in the building and it needs repairs. We had some electrical issues a while back and needed some attention. A number of years ago, we put a new roof on the church. I'd say a number of years ago, it's probably 10 or 12 by now. Some, or maybe not quite. Oh, he's Daniel saying more than that. That's somewhere in the 10 to 15 then. Huh? 09, so it's getting close to 14, yeah. But anyway, if the world continues to stand, it'll someday need another new roof, or it'll need painted, it'll need some more attention. But the church, the building, the spiritual house that we're referring to, the people that Jesus is building, yes, it will we will continue to age. Each one of us as individuals will continue to get older. But the house of the Lord will not fail. It will continue to stand. And that is because Jesus has already won the victory over Satan and death and hell, as we again remembered and thought about last weekend as Easter Sunday. Thinking about us being the house of the Lord continuing to being built, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 says it like this. For this cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Even though as we get older, our outward man, our person that we are, our bodies will continue to slowly get older and faint, but the inward man is renewed day by day. We will continue to grow in the likeness of God. Then we want to look a little bit more about that phrase in verse 5 where it talks about us being a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. We are not only called to live for the Lord, but we are a holy priesthood. We probably could make a whole message out of just that phrase, thinking about what is referred to there. But we are, it don't end there. We are called to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. What is the biggest thing that we can offer as a spiritual sacrifice? We could say that the biggest thing we could offer is ourselves, our time and our talents. I'm pretty certain I just used these verses, maybe even in the last message I preached, but I couldn't help but to think again there in Romans 12, verse 1, that beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. And it don't stop there. It says, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or acceptable or the service that is expected or that you should have for the Lord. So we see that we are called to give of ourselves in service for the Lord. You know, God hates sin, thinking about the holy priesthood, thinking about our spiritual sacrifices are acceptable to God. God hates sin, and God will never allow sin to continue. But I'm so thankful this morning that His grace will continue to cover our sins if we are willing to repent and confess them and forsake them. But true repentance involves sorrow for sin and also a turning away from that which is not right. I'm sure some of you remember, many of you probably wouldn't have been here then, but Brother Lorne Yoder would have served in Mexico at a church plant for many, many years, and he struggled with teaching or explaining to the Mexicans how the turning from sin, and he was here one evening and shared a little bit, and he explained it this way. He said he would always turn, and he said, you know, turning away from sin is like you're walking down a road, and you're going down the road, and you get to all of a sudden you realize you're not going the right way, and you turn, you do a complete circle, and you're going the opposite direction, and you're forsaking the way you were going. And that's how he would explain to them, and he said many of the Mexicans would get it when he would explain things like that, you know, it's not just saying I'm not going to sin anymore, but no, it's turning and fleeing from that which is not good and that which is not right. And I had to think about that just a little bit here of offering spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable by Jesus Christ. I trust that each one of us here today realize the extent of how God hates sin. And I believe the church as a whole, I'm not saying our church, the churches in America as a whole, treat sin far too lightly. Romans 6, verses 12 through 16, it says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God all as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or unto obedience unto righteousness. So there we see we are called to not let sin reign in our mortal bodies, or not allow sin to become an intricate part of who we are on a daily basis, but that we would realize of how much God hates sin and he has called us unto holiness. If we are connected to a living stone, the cornerstone, and if we are being a living rock and a living stone for the Lord, our lives should reveal that. As many false teachers are running around today telling different things, you don't have to look very far till you see it. We were just talking about that out at EBI, some of the things. Everybody had our board meeting the other week, and some of the things, not so much, but just things that are happening around us in churches and in America. But in 2 Timothy verse 4, verses 3 to 5, it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." Then it tells us what we should be doing. "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, but do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry." Make full proof of what we are doing for the Lord. Living out a Christian life. And why are we bringing out some of this? I think it's important for us to understand what all is involved in us of giving of ourselves in time and talents and service for the Lord. We can only do it in the way that is acceptable unto God if we're doing it from a pure heart. If we're doing it out of a right motive. Living a Christian life requires a life of submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, he is now not only your Lord, but he is also your Master. A couple verses in Philippians 2, verses 12 to 15, tells us that we need to be blameless and harmless. That says, "Therefore, my beloved, as ye have also obeyed," this is the Apostle Paul teaching, telling the church there at Philippi this, "but ye, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you to both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings." And then verse 15, "that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." Several things that were brought out there about us being blameless and harmless, in other words, having our hearts pure and right before the Lord, but also about us being a testimony. What we are doing, how we are living our lives is shining in the world, whether it is for good or whether it is for evil. Next couple verses here in our text tells us that those who believe in Jesus is precious, and those who are disobedient, that he is a stumbling block and a rock of offense, there in verses 7 and 8. "Therefore, unto the left," verse 7, "unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which is be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." So we see that those that are believe are precious in the sight of the Lord. We have a place in the house of God. But if we have not accepted the Lord as our Savior, we are stumbling. He is a stumbling block and a rock of offense. Brings us into part 3, living as God's people. Verse 9 starts out there about us being a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. And I believe, again, as I said in the beginning, this is one of the verses that are the main thrust of the message. There's two questions that can come to your mind as you think of some of this, is who is the chosen generation, and or who are we chosen by, and what are we chosen for? First, we can say we are chosen by God, but how we are chosen has to do with the choices that each one of us have the opportunity to make. God has provided a way for each person to be saved through his Son Jesus. We have to choose to be among the chosen. He made us as creatures of choice. He didn't pick out certain people and say, well, you'll be saved, you'll be saved, you'll be saved, and you won't be. That's not the nature of God. The nature of God is that all would have the ability to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. His utmost desire is that every man would come to repentance, but some choose not to accept him as their Savior and live for him. Thinking a little bit more about verse 9 there, God has provided a way for us to be a part of the chosen generation. It says a royal priesthood and a holy nation, a peculiar people or a special people, a purchased people. You know, there's a lot in this verse that, again, we could probably get a whole message out of just this verse, but a royal priesthood brings out the thought of when the word royal is there, it's something special, it's something important, something that has a lot of worth, you could say. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a nation that is as or we could almost say a holy generation, as we think of us here today and each one of us as individuals and what we are doing for the Lord today. And a special people called out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Are we showing forth and proclaiming the praises of God? Are we dabbling around in the sin and the mire and the muck of this old world? You know, in the mire and the muck of the world isn't a very good place to be. I've shared this story before. It's been a number of years, I think, but back when we built one of our barns, we had put in a reception pit at the end of the barn, and the night they backfilled around that reception pit, we had a thunderstorm that produced about 2.5 or 3 inches of rain in less than a half an hour. And about half of the dirt that they backfilled around, there was a hole, a 2-foot square hole down near the bottom, that there was a pump, a suction pipe for a pump that was going to be put in. And it rained that much that it came and washed a lot of that backfill down around and right into the bottom of that pit. And the pit was 4 feet wide and 8 feet deep, and the top was completely closed except for a foot wide opening where the solids would drop down through. So there was only one way to get that muck and that mud out of there, and that was to crawl in that 2-foot square hole and shovel it out. It took a couple hours, and it was not a pretty picture, and whoever was all involved, and I was one of them, was covered with mud till we were done. And I often think of that illustration when I think of this, dabbling around in the mire and the muck of the old, in the world. You know, it felt good to get that behind us and get cleaned up and get clean, dry clothes on. And that's the same with us as Christians, as people. If we're dabbling around in sin, if there's things that are in your life that shouldn't be there, and you're wallowing in all of that, and it's not worth it. It's good to get cleaned up before the Lord and to present ourselves as pure and holy before him. If we are part of the chosen, if we have chosen to be part of the chosen generation, the chosen people, we are a saved people, and God expects us to live our lives honoring to him. Back in Titus 2, verse 14, it says, he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, or again, a special chosen people. But then it says, zealous of good work, zealous, willing, obedient service, those that are willing to come humbly before the Lord and do his will and his work. Yes, there will be still tempted. There will still be times we face temptations. We will still have difficulties in life. But that will not define who we are. We can rise above that and continue to follow and walk in newness of the Lord. You know, Jesus won the victory, as we said earlier, over Satan and death and hell. And he provided that same way for us to be victorious as well. Our lives should be a living sermon for all to see who we come in contact with. A little saying we read sometimes is many times very true. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely tell the way. The eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel sometimes is confusing, but examples are always clear. And the best of all the preachers are men who live their creeds, for to see good put into action is what everybody needs. I soon can learn to do it if you'll let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lecture you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lessons by observing what you do. But I might I might understand you in the high advice you give. Let me start that back over. For I might misunderstand you and the high advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding by how you act and how you live. Many times, things can be caught much easier than they can be taught. Not saying that teaching isn't important, but what are we showing the next generation and those coming along beside us? Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We are his workmanship. We are created. We're changed to do his will and created to do the will of God. So this morning, as we think about some of what we shared, are we living in the blessings of the Lord? You know, it's pretty easy in life. You know, we think about, that was shared a little bit about in Sunday school as we were going through the parable, but as if we look at the different aspects of the parable, or do we back up and look at the parable as what was meant to be from the heavenly view? And a lot of times, I was thinking about that as we were talking about that in Sunday school and again hearing the message. A lot of times, if we keep our focus on the different things, the difficulties that we're facing from day to day, we can get distracted. It can become heavy. It can become hard. But if we back up and focus on who God is and what he wants from us and live our lives in reflection of that, many times it becomes very easy and very easy to continue going on and serving the Lord. Verse 10, they're the last verse in our text, which in times past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. If we have accepted the Lord as our Savior, we have obtained the mercy of God. So a couple questions for us to think about in closing. Are you a living stone? Are you alive in Christ? Does your life reveal that? If we are living for the Lord and we are being a living stone. The last question kind of ties with that. Does your life reveal that you are a child of God? Many times as we go through life, we run into different people, we run into different situations. But let's be careful that we remember that we are a holy priesthood. We are building up the church. We are building up the spiritual house. The work through the work of the Lord, and we need to present ourselves as a spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And along with that, we are the verse 9 there in our text, that we are the chosen generation. God has a purpose for you to be here in April of 2023. He has a work for each one of us to do. You know, it might be the person that, I'm not trying to call out people, but Jamie, it might be the person that you deliver something to. You might never know you made an impact. Or Barry, it might be the person, I'm thinking of Barry Thrush now, not, there's two Barrys here. Might be the person you meet in the woods that's running the skidder. You might never know. Ethan, the people that come into your business, you might never know. And anybody else here, that anybody you run into, you never know what the person might see in you or what the little word you might have said that you didn't even begin to imagine that you had any impact on their life. But you could have started a seed or could have had a bigger impact than what you realize. I read a story a while back, and this just came to me, but there was a person that, it was a young person. It was a true story. I don't remember much of the details, but this is basically what I remember of it, that they were pretty much right on the brink of being ready to commit suicide. And somebody they bumped into and I forget the whole story, how they ran into him, how the situation was, but there was one thing they said to him, and it changed that they decided not to commit suicide after that. So by saying that, you never know what for impact you might have on somebody by what you're doing. Let's remember that we are servants of God, and we are called to be willing and humbly serving our Master and doing His will. Those thoughts in mind, let us bow our heads for prayer.